We read those two verses in Ecclesiastes. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. I was trying to pick a title. I almost just called it The Conclusion, but I didn't want anybody to get excited and say, all right, we're already done. It's over. Pastors do that a lot. I've done it many times where I say, all right, this is the last verse I'm going to read, and after this I'll be done. This is the conclusion. A lot of us struggle with the end of the matter, but Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, and he said, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We ought to do that. We ought to fear God. We ought to reverence God, but we should be afraid of his power, of his judgment. That's what the next verse talks about. It says, God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And there are times in life where God reveals to you the secret things. God reveals to you your errors in judgment. I tease a lot about my children, but they bring to light the character issues that I have. If there's something that I haven't dealt with, I will eventually see it in my son. He will say, I did this because I saw you do it, or you did this and I thought it was okay. They will reveal to me things that I would say, you know, the secret things, and whether things, sometimes bad things that I said were okay, and sometimes things that are right and good to do that they did not observe in me. But to fear God, there are times in each of our life that Kelly just sang about. There's valleys that we go through where we lose track of where we are, why we're there, and trusting in God, fearing him, the reason we should fear him is because he first loved us. Our God is a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of forgiveness. We just sang about that. We just rejoiced in the fact that God saved us, that God has given us a home in heaven. We're going to talk about that a little bit today, that because of the reason we should fear God is also the reason that we should love God. God talking in Deuteronomy, he said, gather me the people together, talking to the children of Israel, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. One of the reasons we should fear God is because God's the one that's in charge. He's the one that's going to bring everything into judgment. But we should fear God as an example to those that follow after us. Even God said, teach your children to fear me. Moses told people to fear God. He said, fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law. Joshua, at the end of his life, when he was about to pass off the scene, he said, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Samuel, a great prophet used by God, that he said, here am I, you know, Lord, here am I, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. But he said, only fear the Lord and serve him in truths with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. Job said, God said about Job, he was an upright man and one that feareth God. David said, serve the Lord with fear. Solomon said, fear the Lord and depart from evil. The fear of God always pushes out sin. It pushes out evil. I don't know if everybody started out as a little kid, and before you knew that mom and dad loved you even, you knew that there were some things that you maybe shouldn't be doing. Before you knew the extent of their love, you feared them because you did not want to receive punishment. And the reason they wanted you to fear them was to protect you. Jonah, even in the boat when he was running from God, he said, I fear the Lord. Peter said, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God. And even the angels in the book of Revelation said, fear God and give glory to him. And that word fear does mean respect. It does mean to stand in awe of. But it also means to be afraid of. It means to realize the power of God. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. God is omniscient. He knows everything. God is omnipotent. He is all powerful. And because of those things, we should fear him. Because of the fact that God chastens those whom he loves, because he loves us, we should fear him. But because he is a God of wrath, because he is a God of judgment, and he is a God of vengeance, we should fear him for those reasons too. When I was a little kid, and the Sunday school teacher said, you need to trust Christ, because there's a place called hell that God prepared for the devil and his angels. But God prepared that place as separation from him, as prepared that place as a place of punishment. And he said, the Sunday school teacher said, you need to get saved because that place called hell is a real place. don't know about you. Maybe you got saved because you know, the first reason was because you love God and because you love Jesus, but the first reason I heard about getting saved was I didn't want to go to that place of punishment. I had a healthy respect. I had a fear of that place of punishment created by an almighty God that would not abide sin. And today, a lot of times we try to avoid this topic because it doesn't sound loving. But one of the most loving things you can do is instill a healthy fear of things that should be feared. I have a 13-year-old, 13-month-old, God forgive me, I don't have a 13-year-old yet. I have a 13-month-old girl. And I didn't have this issue with the boys so much. You know, when Aaron and Arnie were little and they did something I didn't like, I could correct them right away. I didn't have this, you know, this hang-up that I have. There's something about it's my baby girl. And she just started walking around. And she started to pull on things. And now my imagination is, you know, going to the place where, well, she's going to hurt herself. The other day she walked over and grabbed the power cord, like, to the stereo. You know, there's a big power strip where everything's plugged in, and she grabbed the cord that was plugged into the wall, and she started to pull on it a little bit. And I said, Anna, no. You know, I said, no. And I picked her up, and I moved her across the room, and I set her down. And she was playing. A couple minutes passed by. She walked back over to that power cord, and she grabbed it. And she didn't do this, but in my mind's eye, I said, well, the next step, if I don't stop her now, she's putting everything in her mouth. She's got two teeth on the bottom, two teeth on the top. She's going to grab that cord and bite into it, and mommy's going to come home, and she's going to say, I couldn't leave you alone for 10 minutes, and it's going to be all over. So out of fear of all of those things, I said, Anna, no, and I picked her up, and I put her in her bed. And she cried because it wasn't bedtime. And she was standing up in the crib, and she was crying for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And I said, Anna, you're in bed because you touched that cord. I'm putting you in bed. This is your punishment. You touched that cord. And she cried and she cried. And I finally said, enough time has passed. I'm going to take her out of the bed. I'm going to put her down on the floor, let her play with her toys. A couple minutes later, she wanders over to the cord and grabs it with both hands. And I'm a softie. I admit it. This is my baby girl. She grabbed it with both hands. I finally reached out, and I tapped her on the hand. And immediately, she looked at me like, what have you done? What have you just done to me? And her eyes welled up with tears, and she began to cry. And I began to cry, and I said, I'm so sorry. But she was not making the association. She couldn't figure it out that the thing that I didn't want her to do was the thing that I tried to stop her from. If I could have found another way, if I could find another way to stop her from hurting herself, I would have done it. But I couldn't find another way, so I swatted the hand. And the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. If you feel a judgment on your life, if you recognize that sin in your life, and you feel, you say, you know, there's things in my life that would be different if I wasn't living in this sin. I feel like God has dealt with me in this area. No, it's because you're loved. No, it's because God's trying to get your attention. God does not want to hurt you. He wants to keep you safe from sin. I don't know about you, but I try not to watch the news. But when you see something in the last few weeks, you see somebody make a young, foolish decision that they're going to live with the rest of your life. And you think, would to God that there had been somebody, that there might have been somebody. I'm not a judge. I don't stand in judgment of any parent. I don't want anybody to stand in judgment of me. But you look at somebody that makes a decision that's going to haunt them the rest of their life, and you say, I wouldn't have hurt their feelings for the world. I wouldn't have made them cry for the world. But if that chastening or that punishment could have kept them from hurting themselves the rest of your life, then let them be chastened. I wish somebody could have stepped in, and I'd rather have them cry a little bit right now before they take a bite out of a live wire. I'd rather them have a little bit punishment now and learn to fear and have a respect for and appreciate that God is in control, that God is in power. And so much more when it comes to our salvation. That fear of God brings us to salvation. Again, I don't know the reason when it finally clicked for you, if you're a Christian and you said, all right, I'm going to trust Jesus. For me, a big part of it was the fear of the punishment of God. I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that there was a penalty for sin. I knew that God was everywhere, that he knew what I did, that he could see me, and that God had all power. And I wanted to receive Christ because I knew that God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I knew that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that fear brings us to salvation. Don't ever be mad that God asks us to fear him. He wants us to fear him because he loves us. He wants us to fear him because he knows what's best for us in our life. And sometimes the only way we understand it is to get swatted, is to get that chastening, that punishment. God says, I'm trying to lead you back into the path of righteousness. When the Bible talks about the wicked, it talks about that there was no fear of God before their eyes. There's no recognition of God's power. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And that idea of a person that doesn't fear God, doesn't realize they need him, and they don't love him, and they don't help anybody else, because they're living in their sin and their own world, and they don't acknowledge the power and the presence of God in their life. And that would be fine if hell wasn't real. That'd be fine if there was no consequence for the actions that we take. But that's not the case. The Bible says that the bottomless pit, that hell is a place of darkness where the worm dieth not. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's an eternal consequence for not fearing God. There's an eternal consequence for not accepting Christ as Savior, because we are not worthy without the redemption of Christ in our life. There's an eternal consequence, but there's consequences right now for the choices that we make. If you're here today and you're living under the false assumption that there are not consequences for your actions, I would beg you, I would, if it were possible, if I could swat you on the hand, if I could make you cry, if I could bring you to that emotional point where you make the connection and say, I shouldn't be doing this because I'm hurting myself, I would do that. But if you're here today and you're still in that sin, and you know that God loves you, you know that there's a place called hell, that he does not want you to go there. The Bible says the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to redemption. We offer as an invitation every week around here. Every week you come to this place, you hear the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We don't apologize for it. You don't have to remind Pastor that he told you already, because you hear it every week if you come here. And we don't want you to, I don't want this week to be the week that you came and did not hear it. God loves you. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for your sins. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can do that today. You don't have to wait till we sing a pretty song or we have an invitation. You can pray and ask Christ to be your Savior at this moment. And the Bible commands us. He says, today is the day of salvation. And that was number one. There's fear brings us to salvation. In my daughter's case, fear kept her from hurting herself, even though I didn't like being the one to chasten. And God, I don't think God enjoys chastening us, but he loves us, so he does it. But number two, fear of God is the first step toward gaining wisdom. So if you've trusted Christ, you got a healthy respect for God, you're trying to stay as far away from sin because you don't want to deal with the consequences of it. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, Proverbs chapter 1. In Proverbs 9, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There's many wise so-called people in the world that don't acknowledge God. They fail to see the consequences of their actions, and they leave it all up to chance. But the Bible says that it is the beginning of wisdom to fear God. The same God that wants you to be afraid so that you will stay out of punishment and acknowledge the consequences for your actions, the same God wants us to be wise. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. If the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God, then a person that is wise understands a person that is wise understands the gravity of heaven and hell. So a person that is wise wins other people. If you look at your family and your friends, and you look at them and you have godly wisdom, then the priority for you will be to give them the word of God, to give them the gospel. Again, the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. If you know the story in Luke chapter 16 of the rich man and Lazarus, the beggar, they both died. Lazarus was with Abraham in Abraham's bosom, and the rich man, the Bible says, in hell, he lifted up his eyes. And he asked Abraham to send somebody to tell his five brothers. He said, I have five brethren. Send someone to my father's house, lest they come into this place of torment. Again, everything in life has consequences. Some of us learn the lesson early through God's chastening. Some of us learn the lessons early through our moms and our dads, and they teach us. They say, I'm going to stop you right there before you hurt yourself. But this rich man that in hell lifted up his eyes, he finally had the wisdom and the understanding, but for him it was too late. God gives each of us wisdom and understanding, but it'd be better if we got it before it was too late. It'd be better if we understood and we could respond before it's too late. If you have a friend or a loved one, whatever is keeping you from telling them the gospel, whatever is keeping you from telling them about Jesus. It is not more important. It is not more powerful than God. It is not more of an inconvenience than the fires of hell. It is not worth putting it off because of what you think they might think about you. A wise person says, hey, you know, there's a lot of things going on in the world, but I understand heaven and hell, and I need to tell you about Christ. And then number three, the fear of God is what keeps us living for him. We talked about Ruth and commitment in Sunday school today. That when things get tough, you know, when we say a wedding vow for better or for worse, most of us, I know I wasn't thinking about anything worse, I was just thinking about the better. And most of us, when we make a promise, we're that way. But fear of God is what keeps us living for him. The Bible says in Deuteronomy, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. It's not something that just starts you on the journey. I don't want to go to that place called hell. I fear God enough to get saved. It's the thing that keeps you going on the journey. It's the thing that says, I want to serve him all of my days. When somebody fears God, they will serve him and they will love him. They'll respect him. I remember my mom and my dad growing up. There was, starting out, I just didn't want to get in trouble. So, honestly, when I was 5 and 6 years old, I just didn't want mom and dad to find out what I did. As long as they didn't find out, then I could delay the consequence. You know, I could put it off, and I was all right as long as they didn't find out. But then after a while, the more I realized how much they loved me, my fear of them did not change. Even to this day, my dad can still pull me aside and say, I didn't like how that happened. I would not like you to do that again. And I still have a healthy fear and respect for him. I do work for him too. He's my boss, but amen. Okay, so, but, you know, when you're younger starting out, you just think, well, as long as they don't find out, you know, it's not really fear, it's just avoidance. But the more that you grow up and you understand that they love you, and for that reason they correct you, and for that reason they chasten you, and for that reason they pull you back in line, your respect and your fear, your love and respect for them grow. My dad, you know, likes to have fun. He's in Disney World right now. He likes to have fun. But when I get in trouble, the fun stops, and he corrects me, even to this day, and I'm still glad to receive it. It still stings a little bit, but that's what correction means. It says, hey, next time you go to make that mistake, remember the consequence. Remember the pain that comes with it. I love my father. I would not disobey him on purpose. But there's plenty of times in life where, you know, on purpose, but there's plenty of times in life where we fail to make that association. We say, well, I'm going to go back down that path again. We forget the consequence. God's the same way. He loves us. We should fear him because he made us. He created us. He's all powerful. He's everywhere. He can see us. But we should fear him because we love him, because we know that he has a will for our life. So the title was, not in conclusion, but the title was, Fear God, Keep His Commandments. Walk in His Ways. All those verses I read, different guys in the Bible that said, fear God. They said, fear God because you need to walk in His ways. Fear God because you need to teach your children. You might have coasted through life with no consequences, and there's nothing else you got to worry about, but I guarantee you there's a child or there is somebody following you that's watching your example. So you might have it all settled, and you don't have anything else to worry about, but somebody's learning from your example, and they're going to make the same choices that you have made or the ones that you have not made. Teach your children. Serve in sincerity and truth. Fear God and depart from evil. Walk in his ways. Again, it's easy to avoid the fear of God because we don't like it. It sounds scary, but the fear is what keeps you in the love of God. The fear is what keeps you serving God. The respect for who God is, the standing in awe of all that he has done, the blessings that he's put in your life says, hey, I get to wake up today and go serve that kind of God. I get to get up today and go do right because the God that I love and respect and fear is with me. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So in conclusion, not the name of the sermon, but in conclusion, in the book of John, Jesus told his disciples to fear the Lord. I'll read it. And then I'll be done. Honestly, he said in John 15, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. That's John 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Jesus used those words, love, joy, and commandments. He said they're tied together. If you fear God, you keep his commandments, you get joy. You fear God, you keep his commandments, you get love for one another. You fear God, you keep his commandments, you have that love that says, I'll lay down my life for my friends. He that winneth souls is wise, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If God has placed somebody on your heart today, and you say, you know, I put it off, I didn't want to tell him about Jesus, I didn't want to invite him to church, I didn't want to tell him how I believe because I'd be embarrassed, but there's no embarrassment that equals the pain and suffering of eternal damnation in hell. There's no opinion that's more important than the truth that there is, that the truth that Jesus saves and he's the only way to heaven, and I need to deal with it now. If you're here this morning and you have the fear but you haven't yet responded to the gospel, we're going to have an invitation. We'll take a Bible. We'll show you from the Word of God how you can trust Jesus as your Savior, not doubt, and serve him in love and the fear of God. The reason the fear is there is so we can have the joy and the peace and the love that only also comes from God. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll have an invitation. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the love that you show to us, even when it comes across as chastening. That means that you care about us. It means that you're watching us. It means that you don't like the choices that we made. Thank you, Lord. The chastening reminds us that you're there. It reminds us that you have bigger plans for us in our life and that you don't want us to give up. You want us to serve you. You want us to do right. I pray, Lord, that as we all struggle with teaching our children, we all struggle with being an example to others, that we would realize the fear of God is what gives us the love of God. The fear of God is what gives us joy and true friendship and greater love that we won't find anywhere else. It only comes from you. Thank you for loving us. I thank you for sending Jesus to be our Savior. I pray you bless this time of invitation. If there's some one or two here that need to make a decision, that they'd not hold back, they'd not put it off, that they do it today. I pray you bless the invitation. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.